Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, another day. Yes. Headlines is Greece, and we'll be talking briefly about that. And then we're going to move on to some
We're
going to move on to some other topic.
No. This is, we're going to change the name of the program to Greece Survival.
How to survive if
Greece
you live in Greece.
Greece 7.
Ugh.
All right. That's what we're going to have here for news. All the Greece that is news, might be news, could be news.
The most often asked question today was, you can't believe that the world has fallen apart and gold managed a $4 up day and now it's down today by $7.70 at $11.73.40. You have silver down 8 cents at $15.78. Platinum down 2 at $108.3 and palladium was up 6 at $676. USDX today was, of course, stronger. 0.56 at 95.47. Crude oil popped back, still under 60, up 1.03 at 59.36. And the paper markets today, I still hear some wind in the microphone there, Al. But the Dow was up 22 points at 17,618. The NASDAQ was up 28 at 49.86. And the S&P up 5 at 2,063. The 10-year yield, 2.34%. Pressure on the euro at 1.11. And European markets, Germany continued to follow or to fall 1.25%. London was 1.5%. Asian markets were up slightly. So the fear index today, just to give it was lower. It was like 9 and it popped up to 12. So still a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty in the markets. Everybody's unsure about what's going to happen to Greece. And it was funny, Al, because I saw a little article on the referendum for Sunday. And there's this Greek guy. He says he was asked on Monday during a coffee break with coworkers to explain the 72-word question that Greeks must answer with a yes or a no vote in the referendum. He says, I had to give up. And he's a 46-year-old chief accountant at an Athens bakery chain. He says, who outside the banking sector knows what a debt sustainability analysis is, let alone can say if we should, if it should be accepted. And now you understand why all you hear is the both sides saying vote yes, vote no. And I guess you'll, because no one could figure out what it says. So I just thought
that
was kind of...
Because it's in Greek. That's
it's in Greek, yes.
If they looked in Italian or Spanish or English or something like that, it would be comprehensible. But it's Greek to the Greeks.
It certainly is. So
it's Greek to the Greeks as well, so...
So it certainly is. So that's how that referendum will be decided on.
And what difference does it make?
Nobody knows.
Isn't it after the fact anyway?
Yeah, you would think.
And be resurrected? I don't know. I mean, you know, I got an article here talking about Greece. Greece asks for third bailout in last-minute diplomatic push. And the Greeks are going back and say, oh, please, please give us this deal. All right, and whatever's happening, I'm losing my respect for the Greek government. I liked what they were doing previously because they were calling a spade, but now they're essentially coming back with a tin cup in hand and saying, please give us another handout. And one of the problems is that many officials don't trust Tsipras and his government to make the austerity measures. He's coming back, we'll play nice now. Well, people are sitting back and saying, look, you Greeks, you promised you're going to, we cut the debt in half a couple of years ago, and you promised you'd make good on the balance. You haven't. Now you're making us more promises. And they're just, some of them are sitting back quite sensibly and just saying, look, you're not going to pay the bill. We know that. All right? I don't care what you promised to pay. You're not going to pay it. And you got to be crazy. For lenders to sit back, okay, we're going to trust you one more time. This is like Charlie Brown and Lucy. She holds a football, and Charlie Brown tries to kick it every fall, and she pulls it away, and he falls on his butt. This is the same thing with the creditors and the debtors in the Greek situation. The debtors are going to pull a football away. One of the reasons they're asking the IMF and ECB for more money is that Russia is not inclined or willing to deliver as much foreign aid as Greece had hoped. That's one of the clear implications here. They're saying, no, wait, we promised to play nice if you'll just give us some more money. That means they're not getting anything out of Russia, or they're not getting what they'd hoped for. All right? If they might be getting something, but not as much as they'd hoped for. Greek government and people are showing themselves to just be a bunch of parasites and welfare recipients who think they're entitled to another free lunch, another welfare check, and never have to work hard enough to pay their bills. The Greeks overplayed their hand. I don't criticize them for doing so, but I do criticize them for playing their creditors. That's what they've been doing, playing these creditors for a couple of years. And they've been playing the world as well. And now at the last minute, they're trying to play one more time. You know, Greece has been broke for years. It's bankrupt. It knows that it's been playing extend and pretend for years. And now, barring the unforeseen, the Greeks will have to stop playing. Now they're going to have to accept responsibility and pay the price, economic depression, that all bankrupts must finally pay. Greek people are going to have to learn that if you want something, you must actually work hard enough to earn it, that you can't spend your life just enjoying yourself based on yet another handout from the government, the IMF, the European Central Bank. If you're going to play the welfare game, you need to accept the fact that sooner or later you have to either earn enough to pay for your own free lunches or accept austerity and economic depression. All of the welfare schemes, early pensions and free lunches that the Greek people have voted for over the years are about to disappear. The Greeks are about to learn that they are personally responsible for their economic fate. They won't like the lesson. The pain will be substantial, but once they realize the only way out of their predicament is their own hard work, once they abandon reliance on the welfare government, they'll be all right. It'll take a few years, but they will mostly survive. In the meantime, Greece has played the fool. Now it will pay the fool's price, poverty. I could respect Greece if it accepted its fate with a certain amount of resignation and even some dignity. All right, it's like a hangover. You understand? You went out and got drunk last night, and you stayed out too long. You didn't get enough sleep. You're hungover today. All right, suffer through it. You earned your hangover. All right? You may not enjoy it, but you can't get around it. You got to deal with it with a certain amount of and learn from it. Instead, Greece is back with their tin cup begging for more handouts. You know, this just inspires my contempt. They should just say, look, we're not paying the bill. We can't pay the bill, and we're going to make our lives as best we can. But no, they're back for another handout. I don't like it. And here's another one. This is from the BBC. The headline is Greece. Yeah.
You know, and where is it any different? I mean, the world is all based on handouts to the citizens. And again, it's almost like they're looking for leadership. They end up voting for the politician who's got the best pitch, and then the people, perhaps, are sort of, okay, where did that get us? So now this is, you know, coming back and agreed, you know, they want it to be as was. They don't want to accept any changes, and I get all that. But there really isn't any leadership in any of these countries anymore. It's almost like these countries, I mean, who
there's
leads?
There's not responsible leaders.
There's no leadership.
Well, it's not responsible. They promised to lead, but their idea of leadership is promising a bigger, better free lunch. For more people, vote for me, and I'll see that you get something for nothing that you didn't earn.
Yeah, but
that
Tsipras
is a standard theme around the world.
Tsipras was voted in because he was going to stand up against these guys, and that's why he got voted in.
Yeah, I know.
So again, people are being so deceived by these politicians. They just hear a little bit of something that they want. They log on. Not any different.
It's not just
what it is here.
Being deceived. You know, there's an old saying, you can't con an honest man, all right? All of these people that are in this deal, they're going to lose their pensions. Oh, this is such a tragedy. They promised to pay us. All these pensions are excessive and unearned. The whole deal behind public unions, all right, in this country and Greece and whatever, well, we work for the government, so we're entitled to make a bunch of money at the expense of the poor saps who actually work for a living. It's a hustle. It's a con. You can't sit back and say the government workers are the victims in this situation. They were hustling. They were conning. They expected to exploit the taxpayer. And now they've been put in a position where, oh, my gosh, the taxpayers don't have the money or won't produce it. Now where's it going to come from? Well, let's borrow it from the ECB or the IMF or the Federal Reserve. Or somebody's got to make good on these government pensions. Just because they were irrational and overly generous, that doesn't change things. Somebody's got to make good. They're not going to make good. It's happening in this country. It's happening in Greece. It's going to happen in this country.
Absolutely.
All right?
And it's no wonder that there isn't anything that is accomplished.
The point, though, is that the people who are going to lose on this are going to be exactly the people who bet that the government would always be able to extort enough money out of the American taxpayer to pay off whatever it promised to the government workers in terms of pensions. Their bet all along was, we can count on government to strong-arm the public. The poor saps that are going to get nothing but Social Security after working for 40 years or more, all right? They're going to have to cough up more money to support the retired government workers who got retired early. All right, sometimes after 20 years in this country, and then we're going to support them for the rest of their lives at a pension that's not Social Security. No, 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 that's not good enough for government workers. They do so much, they're entitled to take home double what you can make off Social Security, or in some instances, maybe more. And they think that. It's a bunch of crap. And it's just wrong. And now we're going to deal with reality. And no one's going to like it. But we're going to deal with the idea that the lesson here is we can't spin prosperity out of thin air by some jackass in the Federal Reserve or in the White House adjusting, tinkering with the levers of economic power. You can't make people prosperous by changing the rate of inflation or adjusting whether the dollar index is at 95 or 97 or 92. That doesn't make people more prosperous. You have to start focusing on productivity. We have to learn to become more productive. That means we have to learn to work harder and smarter. And if we can't do that, we're going to go down the pipe. That's all. Very simple. If you can't produce enough to actually pay for your lunch, you are going to go hungry. Might not be right now, but you're going to go hungry. Get in the habit. You want welfare. You think of your title to it. I guarantee it will cripple you. What you need to do is find a way to survive without government subsidies. And if you can do that, fine. Now you're on the road back to productivity. We get productive, we can become prosperous. But the government says, no, no, just vote for me. And you can go play Ripple, or you go drink Ripple, and play a video game, or watch Dancing with the Stars, and I will see to it that you have a free lunch every day, delivered per year to your home. And we'll just charge someone else. Somebody else is going to have to pay for your free lunch. Insofar as we accept those promises, we are going to pay a price. Won't be immediate, but the price is going to have to be paid. And we've been accepting those promises. They've accepted them in Greece, and now they're coming back to haunt them. We've been accepting them for 40 years in this country, and those promises are now coming home to roost. They're not here to the same degree that they are in Greece, but they're coming. They're bigger. They're better promises. And they're coming back, they're coming home to roost, and when they get here, they're, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to leave this debt to our children, our grandchildren. I never thought we'd actually wind up having to pay the debt ourselves. Why didn't someone warn me? I mean, it's really just hurt for me. It's unfortunate, it's sad, but it's not just the government's fault. I am critical of government on a regular basis. I am no friend of the government. But the truth of the matter is we're going into this mess because we the people have been willing to play the fool. You can't con an honest man. We wanted something for nothing, and the government said, well, sure, we'll give you something for nothing. A lot of us believed it. Yeah, guess what? What will happen is the government will prosper, and we will pay. Yeah. Surprised you, didn't I?
Yes.
I had another minute to go before the,
I know. Quit talking.
I had another two
ow.
Minutes to go before the break, and you thought, oh, you'll keep talking. Nah,
yeah, I know. That's not like, well, ow, it is not like you to stop talking.
Well, I do it every once in a while to see if you're paying attention or not. You know.
I was. Uh-huh. I was.
But, well, in any case, I mean, this is a fundamental lesson here. This is not what we're seeing in Greece is not simply a lesson on, I don't know, borrowing, right? Oh, no, insolvency, bankruptcy, inability to pay a debt. This is all ultimately about big government, and a government that promises more than it can ever rationally hope to deliver. And we're going to see the same thing for the pension plans in Chicago and for cities that have filed for bankruptcy in California and around the country. Government has promised more than it'll ever deliver. And it gets away with that because we elect people who promise to give us something we haven't earned. And insofar as we support that, we're a bunch of parasites. All of us are guilty of it. None of us are immune from this. We say, hey, I want some free lunch. Count me in. I'm there. You know, I'm there for the free lunch. Well, fine. Watch and see how it works out. This nation is going to strangle on its free lunches before this is all over. We're going to choke on them. And nobody's going to like it, but the lesson is government is the problem. This is not just a situation about money. This is a situation about government making promises and people who are dumb enough to believe them. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. That means it's your turn, Frank, to turn on the commercial machine. Frank is pushing the buttons right now. Okay. He's trying to get the commercials going.
Well, you know what? I do want to go over the market numbers here in just a little bit because I was informed at the very beginning of the program that for the shortwave programs didn't have it. WWCR does have it now, and WBCQ does have it now, so there might be replays, so we will have to go over the numbers, and I'll go ahead and do that now since there seems to be a little bit of a computer problem. I'm assuming we're still being aired even though he's having a problem. But let's go over ahead. Gold today was down 770 at 1173.40. Silver was down 8 at 1578. Platinum was down $2 at 1,083, and palladium was up 6 at $676. And we'll go ahead and let me pull up the rest of the numbers here. We had the USDX today. That was slightly higher, 0.56 at 95.47. Crude oil was up 103 at 59.36, and the paper markets today, the Dow was up 23 at 17,619, the S&P up 5 at 2,063, and the NASDAQ up 28 at 49.86. And I guess we're ready to go to break right now.
Or maybe not.
Right now.
Or... right now.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I can finish the
computer needs to be rebooted.
I guess. Let me go ahead.
Put the boots to the computer. Somebody put the boots to the computer.
The 10-year yield today was 2.34%. You have the euro at 1.12. That's beginning to turn around a little bit. It was 1.11 earlier in the day, but still down. Overall, European markets up slightly. Germany was down 1.25%. London was down about 1.5%. And so the foreign markets seem to be hammered. The fear index today is trading anywhere between 9 and 12. Currently, we're looking at extreme fear in the markets as far as the emotion that is driving the markets. If you play their little game and follow their little reports, but I find it interesting, and it's amazing that if there's that much fear in the markets, why would you have 23 points to the upside on the Dow? Well, it doesn't even make sense, but there isn't anything that makes sense in these
none
markets.
None of it makes sense.
When they're rigged.
Together. I understand.
When they're rigged, and you try to find a little bit of logic or a common denominator, and they fail to materialize.
And what's that indicate? They're losing control. All right, that's the real implication from my perspective. You know, it's one thing to, if you're rigging the market properly, nobody even knows it's happening. The sheep get sheared and they don't even notice that the wool is gone. All right? When you start rigging the market in a way that is obvious, apparent, incoherent, disoriented, I don't know, all right? What's it indicate? It indicates that they are now in a desperate mode. And they're just, try this, no, over here, adjust this price. No, this one, up, down, whatever. It's not even coherent, right? When the rigging isn't coherent, to me it indicates that we are in or near the end of a serious, you know, we are approaching a serious problem. What else have we got? Here's one while we are waiting for Frank to reboot, and he will notify us when the reboot is complete.
Let me just—I'm going to change the subject here. This can't be in Oklahoma. This is from koco.com, Oklahoma City. This came out about a little over an hour ago.
Yeah,
and you know, a Ten Commandments monument on the Oklahoma Capitol grounds. And is going to be removed because it violates the state's constitutional ban on using public property to benefit a religion. And that's what the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled today. I think you're going to see so many of these rulings come across this country. You're going to see any sign of any cross, any Ten Commandments, anything, just get overrun and put away.
Okay, but what about the Supreme Court? It's my understanding they've got a copy of the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court. Now, of course, the Supreme Court's not operating under the Oklahoma Constitution, but just the same. You know, I wonder how far they're going to push this. And is this a good thing or a bad thing? From the perspective of the Christian churches, is this good or bad? Melody?
And your answer?
My answer is we don't know yet, but it may be like gun control. Every time Obama goes out and tries to advance gun control, the gun makers sell another million guns. He has been one of the, he has been probably the most, the single most effective salesman for guns in that we've ever seen in this country. I'm wondering if something like that might not take place with this attempt to suppress the Ten Commandments and evidence of the Christian faith in this country. It may be that it just blows up on them, and it's maybe in the end it really does attract. Maybe it attracts more people than it offends. You know, I mean, by offending people, I won't say it attracts more than it offends. By offending people, it may actually enhance some people's faith. Maybe a lot of people's faith. Maybe a lot of people will, maybe some people will start looking at this and say, wait a second. What's really going on here? Maybe they need a constitutional amendment in Oklahoma to delete that section from their constitution. Some people will talk about it. I'm not making that recommendation, but some people will talk about it. But it remains to be seen how this will shake out. And just because the government, you know, the Soviet Union tried to suppress the Christian faith. Right? The Soviet Union is gone. and Putin actually extols the Christian faith, at least at times. Right? Times change and the faith survives. And even though the government would try to break it down, there's still, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. Got to weigh the power of government against the power of the Christian faith. Let's see. Let's see who really wins this arm wrestling contest. Let's take a break. Frank, I believe, is now. He says he's ready when we are. We're ready. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, we have a special today, 90% silver. We have $100 face value of the bags, coins of our choice. They could be quarters, dimes, or 50-cent pieces. It could be a mixture. $100 face value. This price includes shipping costs. And your total package is $1,275. That's 1-800-375-4188. That's 90% silver, $100 face value, 71.5 ounces of silver for $1,275. They can call us at 1-800-375-4188. We do have a limited supply of those, so give us a call. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs archived on a daily basis. What's next, Al?
Got an article from this. I think many of you have seen it, but we'll talk about it just briefly. This is from the Associated Press from yesterday. Puerto Rico governor says island can't pay its public debt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, following emulating the Greek example. The governor of Puerto Rico warned that Puerto Rico can't pay its $72 billion public debt as international economists released a critical report Monday on the island's economy. The news from Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla delivered another jolt to the recession-gripped U.S. island, as well as a world financial system already worrying about Greece's collapsing finances. The governor hopes to defer debt payments while negotiating with creditors. There is no other option. I would love to have an easier option. This is not politics. This is math. Garcia is quoted as saying in the Times, which is just another way of saying what can't be paid won't be paid. And it all goes to this idea that government can make all of these irrational promises. And nobody needs to be responsible, and no one need ever say, no, you can't have more entitlements or more subsidies or more. The government is going to be all things to all people. And in the process, the government only, in the end, it discredits itself. Puerto Rico can't pay all of its promises. Right? Neither can the United States, although that problem is not yet abundantly apparent. We can see it coming, but it's not apparent in the same way that Puerto Rico can't exactly pay its debts. The United States can fake its way through. We have certain advantages. We can get by in ways that Greece can't. But we won't be able to do it forever. That's all. Puerto Rico is just another casualty, another one of these instances where, you know, the world is going to see more and more difficulty. What have we got here? Here's another one from the Business Insider. Central bank chief who saw the 2008 crash coming takes back that whole next Great Depression thing, he said. That's the headline of it. Last week, Raghuram Rajan, India's rock star central bank governor, who is credited with foreseeing the 2008 financial crisis, said the world is currently facing Great Depression-era problems. Last week, he says, we got Great Depression problems. But now, the central bank is backtracking on those comments. In a statement, Reserve Bank of India General Manager Alpana Kilawala said the press mischaracterized Rajan's remarks. See? He didn't really mean that we were in or near a Great Depression. So pay no attention to the little man behind the curtain. Right. They went on, the bank says, the Great Depression was a period of great turmoil caused by many factors and not just beggar-thy-neighbor policies. Governor Rajan did not imply or suggest that there was any risk to the world economy, which is in a steady recovery. We're in a steady recovery. Notwithstanding uncertainties like those of the euro area slipping into a new Great Depression. There's no Great Depression coming. Don't worry about it. According to the local Indian media, Rajan warned a London Business School conference that in global collective effort to produce growth out of nowhere, we could be shifting growth from each other rather than creating growth. And this touches on an idea I talked about in the first segment of the program, the idea we have to get back to productivity. Rajan is right to criticize that we are facing a Great Depression-era type problem. We're in a world where politicians and economists believe they can spin money out of thin air to, one, provide an endless supply of free lunches to the people, and two, make their people increasingly dependent, and three, increase government powers dramatically. As long as government's handing out free money, baby, we're there. We believe in the government. We depend on the government. We love, worship, honor, and obey the government as long as it's handing out free money. But there's no such thing as free money. In the final analysis, somebody's got to pay. You know, you can't just keep... It's like if free money were a valid concept, each one of us should be entitled to write checks on our checking account of any amount we want to write. Right? I want a new... I just saw where one of the boxers, I don't know, Mayweather, bought himself a car for $4.8 million. Can you imagine a $4.8 million automobile? Right? Somebody's got to take the punches to pay for a $4.8 million automobile. Somebody's got to throw the punches. There is a price to be paid. We can't simply spin. I could say, get my checkbook. I want a $4.8 million automobile too. And I don't ever have to make good on the check. That's what we're doing when we take this free lunch from government. There's allegedly over $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities that are owed by the government right now. That's government promising, you get a free lunch, and you get a free lunch. How about you, sir? Would you like a free lunch? Ma'am, would you like a free lunch? What would you like on your lunch? That's what government's been doing. There isn't going to be a free lunch. Someone has to grow the food. They have to pay to grow the food. And we have to pay them for the food if we want to eat it. And the government and economists sit back and say, oh, no, vote for us, and we will manipulate the economy. We will adjust the inflation rate or the U.S. dollar index rate. And by manipulating these numbers, we can put a free lunch on your plate. Well, it's crazy. You understand? It is at best crazy. It is arguably criminal fraud. You're not entitled to a free lunch. None of us are entitled to a dime we haven't personally earned. And unless we get back to that, we aren't going to see any restoration of productivity. And this guy in this guy Rajan for the Central Bank of India, he's right. He's complaining that we have to learn that prosperity is a function of personal productivity rather than political entitlements. And if we don't learn it, we're all headed for the same austerity and depression that's about to plague Greece. If the government won't cause or at least allow the American people to become more productive, then each of us must on our own force ourselves to work harder and become more productive. If you want to keep eating, you'd better find a way to pay for your own groceries. We need to focus on increasing individual productivity rather than increasing handouts and regulations through economic gimmicks and the accompanying regulations from government that are going to kill us all. Somebody's got to go back to a free market and actually make some food, make some groceries, make some houses, and we got to we're going to have to actually pay for them. Not just borrow and go into debt deeper and deeper. We're going to have to pay for them. And when we get back to that, we will become productive. And when we become productive, we will become prosperous. But as long as we're a nation who believes in entitlements, we are a nation of parasites. Entitlements, subsidies, something for nothing. It's all parasites. Think you're entitled to it? Watch and see. And I guarantee you the people who are most adamant about their right to entitlements, right, are going to be the ones who will be most hurt when reality finally strikes and they find out, guess what? You're not going to get it. What can't be paid won't be paid. Melody, shall we take our second set of commercials now?
I think so.
All right, let's do it. Let's see if Frank, I told him, he said his computer had overheated. I suggested he throw some ice water on it. Let's see if the ice water has helped the computer to function or not. Apparently, the ice water has done the trick. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, there's a lot of discussions, and we have Jade Helm. That's beginning July 15th, I guess. And there are reports that the FBI is setting up 56 command centers to monitor the 4th of July terror threat, where ISIS is to strike the West with lone wolf attacks. There was a map release that is predicting where or predicts where they will strike, and sources told Fox News the local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies in the U.S. will be reporting any information about possible attacks to these command centers, where officials will decide how to respond. It is a growing fear, particularly since you've had three back-to-back attacks, both in France or all in France, Kuwait, and Tunisia last Friday. The FBI says there has been no specific credible threat so far. It seems to be more active in its warnings and actions ahead of Independence this year than previously. I mean, if there was no specific credible threat, why would you set up 56 field offices across the country ahead of this weekend? And most of the locations on this map is pretty much where you would expect. Florida, Texas, you know, all along the borders. The only states that doesn't have a little red mark in where the FBI will be, and this is where you should probably go on your fourth, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota. Doesn't look like Wyoming has any command centers. Pretty much every state does. Maine is missing one.
Well, I think the implication there is if you build a command center, they will come, meaning the Muslims. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe you need to stay away from these command centers, and maybe they won't attract so many Muslims.
Let's see. There was Mike McCall, chairman of the House Committee on Homeland Security, has also warned Americans to remain vigilant. He also said that ISIS was no longer a regionalized threat, but a global one. He says he's extremely concerned that Syrian and ISIS recruiters can use them, and it goes on and on and on. So,
is it live or is it Memorex? You know, it's like, oh, extra, my gosh, the boogeyman is going to get you.
Put an extra burger on the grill.
Yeah, I understand that for your local Muslims. They may be coming in to bomb your grill party, your 4th of July party. So if you see anyone, you're having 4th of July, you're down at the beach or the park or whatever, and you see anyone approaching in a burqa, be vigilant. She might be packing explosives under the burqa. I don't know. The whole thing, it does sound suspicious, especially in conjunction with Jade Helm. The government seems to be setting up an awful lot of facilities to deal with terrorists, dissidents, military exercises. I don't know. And it's hard to know whether it's a triviality or it's something we should be genuinely concerned about. You know, but you got to wonder what the government's really thinking about. Has the government improved anything by setting up these 56 command centers? Calling FBI offices. Don't we have FBI offices in Dallas and Chicago and pretty much in most of the places where these command centers are being set up? Don't we already have FBI offices that are at least fairly close?
Well, you have your local police forces. You also have your reserves. Sure. You have, you know, various other officials to...
And what are they going to do? Are they just going to take reports? Reports of bombings? Reports of suspicious persons? What? You know, people flying Confederate flags? Boy, we got to keep an eye out for them.
Yep.
You know, the whole thing just becomes... You know, you can't, on the one hand, you can't laugh about it exactly. On the other hand, you can't take it seriously. And when you look for causes, how did we get into this? Well, we invaded Iraq, didn't we? Twice. Right? We're back again. That's one thing. We've meddled in the Middle East for so long in order to keep some control over the Middle East oil. We've meddled there to where we have alienated a lot of Muslims, people from the Middle East. I mean, to some extent, these 56 command centers, control centers, whatever they are for the FBI, this is a consequence of Bush's invasion of Iraq. Right? This is a consequence of all our meddling over there. You know, there should be a situation where people just in my opinion, you know, it's easily said and it's hard to do. You wind up becoming entangled in these foreign relationships, and once you get into them, they create responsibilities that perhaps you never intended, but you wind up caught in that web just the same. And the lesson behind this is maybe you got to just learn to mind your own business. We'll live with the oil we've got in this country, and you people, the rest of you, live with the oil you got in your countries, and we will deliver, we will manufacture and deliver products in this country, and the rest of you do what you want to do. And you don't need to come bomb us. We're not going to meddle in your business. You know, it's one of the lessons that you can at least consider that's a result of our foreign policy for the last 40 years, really since World War II. And coming home at a time, and of course it's coming home at a time when we can't afford the problems. And why can't we? Because we've expended so much money with all of our meddling that now we're broke. And at the time we go broke, that's exactly the time when the adversaries, the people we've alienated and whatever, they say, ha-ha, we can get even with them now because they're broke and they can't afford to play the game. So, I don't know. You would wish that everyone could learn from these lessons. But history shows us that pretty much nobody will. No matter how this works out, if the Muslims didn't detonate bombs in this country, they don't detonate bombs in this country, we will still have a country where 40% or more of us are getting government handouts and subsidies. And 40% or more of us will insist on our right to keep getting free money from the government. And none of us will much care if that free money helps to strangle future generations or even wreck the country. We will take the money. You know, it's just smart. People say, hey, it's just smart. You got to take the money. It's there. It's free. You're entitled. You know, it's like telling people you're entitled to free cocaine, free crack. It's there. Come on, snort a little crack. What the heck? It's free. Free.
Well, do you know what isn't free? Lobster rolls at McDonald's.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem, all right. Lobster rolls. Let me find that article wherever I have it. Yeah, here it is. Fiscal Times headline, McDonald's aims for a classier crowd with lobster rolls. As sales continue to fall, McDonald's is desperately trying to reinvent itself, and its latest effort seems to be aimed at a slightly classier crowd.
And the key word there is slightly.
Yeah, I guess so. The New England area McDonald's are going to start selling lobster rolls again after a 10-year hiatus. According to a report on Fox CT, no word yet on whether the old name McLobster will be revived. The new lobster roll is reportedly made from 100% North Atlantic lobster and includes mayonnaise, a bed of lettuce, a small toasted roll. A meal has 290 calories and sells for $7.99.
What was the old lobster roll made out of?
They didn't tell us. They're not giving us full disclosure on that, Melody. So my question to you, Melody, is how'd you like to go out with me for a romantic lobster dinner? I'll take you to McDonald's. They're catering to a classier crowd, so you can dress up and put on your high heels. I hear they'll soon have strolling minstrels, violin players, and candles on the tables to add that special McDonald's ambiance. In fact, what I see is an almost comical attempt to reverse McDonald's decline. It'll take more than lobsters to save Mickey D's. Without a radical restructuring, McDonald's may be headed for oblivion, which is hard to believe. I remember when McDonald's first started selling 19-cent hamburgers back in the 1950s. I remember one of the stores opened in our town in Illinois, my hometown in Illinois, and oh, boy, we couldn't hardly wait to get there. I mean, it's an event that still sticks in my mind 50 years or more ago. And we're going, ooh, we're going to McDonald's. We'd heard about it, and they finally opened up. And, you know, we were all excited about it. And I remember knowing people who made a fortune investing in McDonald's restaurants. In fact, I knew one guy in high school who was really, you know, I'm not going to say what he was over the air, but he was generally disliked, you know, unpopular, you know, just a jerk. But he and his dad bought a McDonald's. And this would be back probably about 1960, 62, something like that. And then they bought another one, and he wound up one of the wealthiest people around. McDonald's made him rich, but now the McDonald's franchises are suffering a decline. Some of them are growing broke. It doesn't seem possible. It also doesn't seem possible that McDonald's can reinvent itself by selling McLobsters. They tried it, and they abandoned these McLobster sandwiches over 10 years ago. If the McLobster didn't really work 10 years ago, what makes anyone think it'll work today? I'm only guessing. I have no evidence to support my guess. But if I had to guess, I'd guess that McDonald's probably began to slide about 10 years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but in my mind, it feels like about 10 years ago when it started advertising as Mickey D's in an express attempt to attract more blacks to their stores. It's politically incorrect to say so, but you can pretty much bet that insofar as Mickey D's succeeded in attracting more blacks, they also succeeded in alienating some of the white population. I've heard one, there were people back at the time that started calling McDonald's Black McDonald's. If they alienated enough whites with their Mickey D's sales promotion, I'll bet that alienation goes a long way to explaining McDonald's current economic slump. I say it's politically incorrect, but it may be true.
I don't know. The quality of the food is just, I mean, it is just deteriorated. And I mean, you can't blame that on who you bring into the stores, can you?
No, I don't blame. I don't blame the quality of the food on anybody. I'm just saying reality is this. You say we're catering to black crowd. All right, cater to a black crowd, but don't expect to see many whites coming to join.
Well, and that's fine. I mean, then that's why there were so many. But it's almost a sign of just like this country is how it's losing the quality. It's losing. The ability to rule, the ability to, you know, be profitable, the ability to, for whatever reasons, whether it be the quality controls. I mean, you walk into some of these McDonald's and they're just downright filthy. And it doesn't matter what color's in there, it's filthy. And, you've seen the chicken. Have you ever seen the picture of what they make the chicken?
The McNuggets?
Out of some kind of a pink blob.
Oh my gosh, I was just going to have some McNuggets for lunch, Melody, and now you've wrecked it for me.
That and the competition. They had no competition and they didn't keep up with the competition.
Yeah, I think that's
they
need a radical restructuring. I don't think McLobsters are going to be enough to achieve it. We got to go, Melody, as we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.